Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment Day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. We're grateful and we're thankful for this 11th day of January 2021, a day we've never seen before, a day we'll never see again. But in this very present day, we are grateful and thankful that God has allowed each and every one of us to be amongst the living. I just want to take this opportunity to welcome you to the Blog Talk Radio show on this evening. Thank God for your presence. Thank God that he freed up your schedule for you to be here for such a time as this. As we speak tonight, always on oneness, as we speak about Purpose Drives, the platform of marriage, we're praying that God will continue to give us an opportunity to go forward and be the individuals that he has called us to be as spouses or spouses to be. We know that not only is it those that are currently married and desire to see where they can improve in their marriage state, but also the ability for those that have not dipped into that opportunity yet, but one day God will bring them their perfect soulmate. And so we're just praying that God has allowed your schedule to be free to come forward and join us on this evening. Want to remind you to press 1 on your phone if you desire to speak. You will be placed in the host queue. And at the appropriate time, Minister Jesse will give you an opportunity to open up your mic and speak, whether you have a question, whether you are just going to share through transparency and allow others to learn from your experiences. We just welcome you to be a part of our show tonight. And I'm just always grateful and thankful. My name is Tammy Storr, to be a part of the show. And I thank God for the man of the hour, Minister Jesse Storr, as he brings his word forth, that God will be in the midst to allowing him to remove self and allow God to take over so that everything that God desires for us to share, that we're able to share it through transparency for your understanding. And so, as always, we usher in the Holy Spirit. I thank you for being a part of that number, to allow the Holy Spirit to be able to be in the midst. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for yet another day to give us the ability to be able to pray before your throne and ask that your presence be with us tonight on the Blog Talk Radio show. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you continue to order our steps and give us the ability to recognize, know, and understand the things that we must do. Allow our light to shine so bright for others to see you, Lord God. I pray for every marriage that's represented. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you continue to allow us an opportunity to recognize, Father, the things that we are to do, Father God, to understand and know our purpose in our marriages. We understand and know, Heavenly Father, there are times, unfortunately, when we just don't understand sometimes the things that we are to do and not to do. And that's fine. That's why, therefore, Lord God, we must seek your face more and more every day. We must recognize, know, and understand that we can't do anything by ourselves, but by seeking your face and knowing that we can do all things through you, Christ Jesus, that strengthens us, that it will give us the ability to go forward and have greatness in our lives, in our marriage. So I'm just continually praying for every marriage that's represented on our call tonight and all of those that desire to be here but have not made their way. Just be with every marriage throughout the land and give us the ability to exemplify love and joy and peace and happiness. Let us understand gentleness and self-control. Let us dig back down and understand what it means to be gentle, Lord God. I thank you that you will continue to order our steps and allow us to be able to incorporate the fruit of the Spirit in everything that we do. Tonight, Lord God, is no different than none other. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just allow our mouthpieces to be, Father God, everything that you want them to be. I pray that you remove self and allow everything that you desire for us to bring forward in the form of words, that we will do just that. Oh, I love you so much, Heavenly Father, and I just want to thank you for this awesome man of the hour. Everything that he pours into us, I pray that you pour back into him a thousandfold. Allow this message to come forward with simplicity and understanding for others to be able to, Father God, understand and know what it takes to have, Father God, oneness in their marriage. And so I just say thank you once again, Lord God, for giving us all this opportunity to be able to stand in agreement with this prayer, and we know you'll be with us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Well, amen. Let everyone say amen, and we praise God and thank God once again for being here with you on this Monday, on this second Monday in the year 2021. We thank God because we are experiencing times like none other in the history of this country, nor in the history of this globe, right here in America. So many things are going on, and even while those things go on, they still have an impact on oneness and on marriage. It's our hope as we move through 2021 that God will provide to us an opportunity to share with transparency and also with clarity what thus saith the Lord. Part one of our 12-part series for this year is conception. Last week, we spoke about creation, and the subject matter focus this week is purpose. We look around us, and I think we have to sometimes ask ourselves a question. What does it all mean? When we think about who we are and what we are, we have so very few examples that we can point to that would answer, what does it mean to be married? Or what does it mean to walk in, and what is the value of pursuing oneness? Why are we here? What are we supposed to be accomplishing? What is it that we're supposed to be doing? We look around us, and there is all types of evidence that would indicate whatever is supposed to be, we're not having a lot of success. We should question ourselves, why is that? In this world where God has provided such a variety of people, such a variety of men and women, what does it all mean? Yet we find ourselves unable to take advantage or to exploit what God has made available to us as it relates to relationships and as it relates to why we were created in the first place. See, if you think about it, and you think about the pleasure that you may derive or could derive from another human being, when God had said it wasn't good that men should be alone and hang out by themselves, that he should have someone that could perfect him, that could complete him. And we know the opposite is true, that woman would need and would also desire someone to complete her. And see, that's what marriage and oneness is all about, that as we go through the maze of life, as we attempt to understand what it is God has designed for us to understand, we ask ourselves oftentimes these questions. And they're great questions. What is my reason for being married in the first place? Why do I have certain feelings about my spouse? You know, what is the origin sometimes of the thoughts that continue to saturate my mind, my thought process, and especially when Satan makes an attempt to inject something into my thought process that I know is not godly? When Satan would continue to bombard us with a plan and a purpose to stop God's purpose from manifesting in our very flesh. See, Satan, whether we want to sometimes realize it or acknowledge it, is well aware that spouses sometimes are unable or ill-equipped to rebuke and cast down those abominable thoughts that sometimes rise up in our minds. And oftentimes they may rise up and take root without any real evidence or reason other than the fact that we have a very active mind, a mind that is impacted more times than we can ever begin to realize by activities that sometimes have no basis in our relationship. But in a world fueled with instant information and gratification, It becomes very easy for us to be seduced and entrapped and begin to believe things that may not be true. See, marriage requires this unique ability to understand the onslaught of multiple threats, which can often show up without warning. You could be in a situation in marriage where everything is going great. Everything is fantastic. And then all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, something could take place that will cause you to miss the mark. And see, a full understanding and appreciation for the challenges of marriage are required if spouses want to succeed in this postmodern era. This is an era of no fault, that regardless of what situations may be, regardless of what may cause something, oftentimes is viewed as irrelevant, very much irrelevant. As a matter of fact, oftentimes the soft variables associated with marriage can create problems far greater than we ever imagined. Things that years ago would even have caused anyone to give up that something was wrong. Yet today, in a world filled with the expectation of perfection, we find ourselves moving further and further without having a full understanding of the purpose associated with marriage. And because of this, many couples face a difficult path to success. See, purpose drives the platform of marriage. And without an understanding of purpose and an understanding of the weapons and the strategies that the enemy will use to keep you from enjoying success, it becomes very difficult to navigate the waters and to navigate the pathway necessary. So see, we might ask ourselves the question, because we know that oftentimes it's different than what we think. What is the purpose of marriage in the first place? And how does purpose relate to marriage? Well, in simplicity, purpose is the reason for which something is done or created and for which something exists. But what does this mean regarding marriage? See, in marriage, if we made it really, really simple, marriage, as God said, is about companionship. That man shouldn't be alone. And as much as we may care for our four-legged friends and companions, as much as we may pain when one may leave, still not the same, of course, as the companionship of another human being. And God made it in many ways so wonderful that he made a difference in a man and a woman, so that there may be something that a woman possesses that a man finds very much appealing. Her mind, her physicality, perhaps just her ability to make you laugh, to relax you, whatever it may be, there's a compatibility, there's an attraction that drives you deeper and deeper together in that companion. For out of that rises up what we may call the four P's. There's a passion that begins to exist associated with this purpose of fulfillment in this companionship. And this passion, oftentimes when men and women first get together in a marriage, may culminate itself and be consummated in an act of physical involvement, We call it making love, sexual involvement, fulfillment, you know, putting it all together. It's a beautiful reality. And then because we come into this relationship with so many perfections, that in the process of marriage and getting to know each other, you can pursue a perfection that you would not otherwise realize. You're able to have someone to be true to you, tell you the truth, and help you get past all of those issues and all of the baggage and dysfunctions that you may bring into that relationship. Of course, if we are blessed, we become parents together. We have an opportunity then to create a work of art, because that's what child reason is all about. What kind of artist will you be as an individual and as a couple? And as everything happens beyond that, you become partakers in all that life has to offer. What are you going to partake in? What are you going to agree to be involved in? What will all of that be? So purpose that God made available to us is that when we come together and become one flesh, when we have left home and left our parents, we begin the journey to pursue the perfection of integrating and intertwining two individually different people into the reality and the beauty of oneness. But now we must understand, when we look at the relationship, the work of the enemy is going to be around us. And see, when we have certain thoughts that we don't cast down, that we don't rebuke, they can evolve into strongholds that strangle and stifle the love that first attracted each of us to the marital contract. Yes, we must remember, it is a contract, and it's a legal binding relationship. Some people ask all the time, why is it necessary to have a legally binding contract? Couldn't we just say and commit ourselves that we are in love and we love this person, that we're going to be committed forever? We could. And perhaps we should. But see, very few people have demonstrated the capability to do so. Very few people have been able to sustain that kind of commitment without some way or another losing focus or perhaps even being trapped into doing something different. We can hear about all of the wonderful men of God and women and how at one point in time or another, they fell prey to the seductive reality that exists when men and women come together and they're able to see the attractiveness of the other, be it an intellectual attraction, a physical attraction, a spiritual, financial, social, emotional. It doesn't matter, because we're so multifaceted in the creation that God has made available to the world that we may be attracted for a multitude of reasons. But my main point I want to get to is that spouses must aggressively deploy the love and understanding necessary to achieve the corporate purpose God ordained for marriage. And then specifically the individual purpose associated with each marriage. See, independently, we must come to know and to understand the enemy. We already saw it in Genesis 3:15. His purpose is to hinder and stop your purpose, my purpose, our purpose, which is to receive the blessing from each other. See, we as human beings have been given the capability to bring extreme happiness to another individual. We have been given the freedom and the blessing to be creators through procreation. That we have the ability to receive the blessings that God spoke about. And the purpose we have is not just the fulfillment of all self and personal satisfaction. And see, through oneness, through the process of marriage, God allows us all to be perfected, to be able to become that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, purpose drives the platform of marriage, and that purpose is to be able to show and to demonstrate that you have the capacity, if you are a man, to love your wife as you love your own body. And what are we discovering in this particular dispensation? We're discovering that there's too much evidence that we don't even love our own bodies. Because, see, we can become distracted. We can become distracted with food. We can become distracted with other activities that will cause us not to be able to invest the time necessary just to do that. I remember there was a point in my life when I was a little younger that the first thing I would do after I would get up would be go do something physical, go run, go do something, work out. And see, in 2021, I'm committing that that is part of purpose, that part of my responsibility is to take care of this vessel, and that as I take care of this vessel, the correlating result is that I'm proving and I'm demonstrating to my spouse how much I love her, because it allows me to extend, at least theoretically and based on all of the existing data, if that extends my life another 30 years, another 10 years, another 5 years, whatever it may be, then I am showing and demonstrating my desire to please her. Scripture has already dictated that I'm supposed to love her as I love my own body. And so, brothers, I want to encourage all of us, it's not a New Year's resolution. That ain't necessary. It's just about beginning to turn and get on track, beginning to understand that we don't need to give the enemy any more ammunition. He's already doing everything he can to show us how much he wants to take us down and keep us from realizing our purpose, because it drives the entire platform. You know, my queen is going to go over some of the tactics and some of the strategies that the enemy will use to keep you from realizing your purpose. And oftentimes, it's not what we may think. Sometimes we find that the real challenge that we have in our marriages is to be able sometimes to deal with something that appears to be really simple, but is very complex. Envy and jealousy. See, we don't sometimes think in terms of how much envy and jealousy can tear at a marriage, but it can. There are many others, but she's going to share with you some of those things that we have to be aware of, that we have to know the enemy is using consistent with that enmity that God prophesies in Genesis 3:15 that would always exist. And even as we moved into this 21st century, this new year, this new month, it hasn't changed. So Tammy, come on, share with, what are some of the things you believe or you see or God has placed on your spirit that makes it difficult for us to maintain this purpose? Your mic is open.
Amen, Jesse. To God be the glory. I tell you, you have really opened it up to the point where it is very important for us to understand purpose in general. And when we think about some of the things that will cause us some challenges in our marriage, you know, there are several examples we can go through And as I think about one that will cause us some issues, Jesse, I think about sexual immorality. And when you think about that, you think about sexual acts that violate social convictions. And when I think about that, I think about 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in that chapter, it talks about what Paul describes, objections to those in the Corinthian church who had a casual attitude. And it's not just the Corinthian church. It's so many of us in this world. We have such a casual attitude about sexual immorality. And when we think about that, we've got to go beyond just the formal process of the sexual immorality. We have to think about the laws. You know, Paul insists, when we think about Paul, and he was talking about this and teaching the church, he insists the standards for Christian behavior must be whether a practice is helpful or enslaving. It must be where we are allowing ourselves to be God-designed. And it is our purpose that we do the things that we know are going to be pleasing to God. When we think about sex, sex is more than merely a body function, bodily function. We think about God designed it to unite two people into one body in marriage. So if he designed it to unite two people into marriage, then we got to know at that point there should be no outside forces that should ever come in and cause any havoc. So when you think about spiritual and you think about what God desires for us to do, when we all know that that sexual immorality can cause us so many challenges, we got to believe in our hearts of hearts that God has the ability to be able to help us recognize when those things are coming about. And so when I think about, even as I take this one scripture out of that chapter 6, as I look at verse 18, it tells us, flee from sexual immorality. All other sin is a person commits or outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Now, that's powerful. So many of us don't look at it that way. We all look at sin as sin. Yes, that's true. But when we think about really 1 Corinthians 6:18, it really puts it as plain as it can be when we can really take ownership of it with our body. Then I think about sexuality or sensuality, Jesse. And when I think about sensuality, I think about the empowerment. It's the empowerment, expression, or pursuit of physical, especially sexual pleasure. We know, it's no secret, that when God created sex, he created it to be a great thing. It's a good thing if you're doing it and allowing that opportunity to be within your from your spouse. You know, as men and women, we all know that sex is amazing. We know it's good. That's why God created marriage, for us to be married so that we can enjoy one another. God didn't do that just by happenstance. It was something that he intentionally did. When I think about Hebrews 13:4, it says marriage should be honored. Honored, Jesse. It should be honored not by some, not by one or the other within that marriage, but it should be honored by all. So if I see that there is someone that's married, I should not even think about having my eyes on that marriage, because I know that that is an honor from God. Our marriage, God put us together. He strategically put us together so that we understand and know the things that we must do as a spouse to be able to allow that sexual encounterment to be wonderful and great between us. And so there are things that we got to do to get to know each other's body to allow one another to really enjoy it. So as I continue to read on in Hebrews 13:4, when it talks about it's honored by all, and the marriage bed is kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. So I'm praying that we all understand that we have to respect that bedroom when we get the opportunity to go in there and be with one another. And I will say, Jesse, God made it so good that when everything else is going bad in your marriage and you don't know which way to turn, you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do because you feel like your marriage is just going in, just, you know, down a downhill spiral out of control, and you don't know what to do. Well, one of the things that we can do to help bring this to the forefront is go into that bedroom and be able to enjoy each other and see how good God really made it. And then when everything else has gone wrong, when you allow that act to take place, everything else seems to be all right. It gives you an opportunity to start having a different type of feeling for one another. It gives you an opportunity to be able to recognize that those problems that you had before you entered into that act weren't near as bad as you thought. It gives you an opportunity to open up your mind and be able to know the things that now you should speak about and talk about, so that the issues or the problems that you had before, you're able to come together with the right mindset, with more love in your heart and in your spirit, to be able to share through transparency and be able to respect one another. And then when I think about the lack of self-control, that can destroy us. It really can destroy us to the point where we have to have control in everything we do, especially our marriage. When we think about lack of self-control, it's the inability to restrain one's emotions, desires, or impulses. So self-control can cause you to do a whole lot of things in and outside your home that can bring havoc, that will cause you many problems, And we don't want those problems. We want to be able to talk about some of these things so that you don't have that lack of self-control. Because when we think about self-control, it is an important skill that allows us to regulate behavior in order to achieve our long-term goals in everything that we do, including marriage. So without self-control, you can't do that. So that's why lack of self-control can cause so many challenges in a marriage. When I think about 2 Peter 1, when I think about, 5 through 8, where it says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, to goodness and to God, and to godness, knowledge and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. How can you not be able to have self-control without utilizing 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8? It gives us everything we need, from faith to goodness to knowledge to self-control to perseverance to godliness to mutual affection all the way to love. Those are things that will allow us to be able to cast out and rebuke lack of self-control. It will be able to allow us to welcome it in to give us a jump start in our marriage. And then when I get back and I think about another area, I know we talked about, the sexual immorality, and then we talked about sensuality and lack of self-control. And then when I think about some of the other areas, Jesse, and I don't want to go to them as deep because I know that we must continue on, but when I think about impurity, Now, these are just words I'm going to give you that can cause us some challenges. And you should write some of these words down and areas of these words that you know have caused you any challenges within your marriage. And impurity talks about anything that contaminates the believers. Is that you? If it is, I would encourage you to do a study. You can go into the Word of God. You can type in whatever you want into your browser within Google and do a deep dive and study any area that you feel like you are lacking, that you feel like that's causing you challenges, where you know deep down that you have not the ability to operate in oneness. So that's why there has to be a purpose. And with purpose, you got to know there are challenges in your life that will cause you to miss oneness. And if you've never experienced oneness, I will say to you, and I say it from the bottom of my heart, that you're missing out on some very important parts of your life that you can never, ever imagine. If you don't feel, think, and believe that oneness is your life, that you're living and you're married, then you need to continue to study to show yourself approved. If you got hostility in your marriage, and that's where it's that hostile behavior, we've all experienced it. The Bible says that we can be angry, but it does say sin not. And so we've all been there, but we got to understand it's also an unfriendliness or opposition. So who in their right mind would want to be in someone's presence that's dealing with that type of behavior? I know I wouldn't, and I don't think any of you would. And guess what? It may not even be your partner. It may be you needing to look in the mirror and know that it's you that's hostile more than not, and you have the ability to make that correction. Are you willing? That would be the question to you. Are you willing to be able to go forward and realize that there are some things in your life, and we're just using a form of words right now to help you open up your eyes and your ears and your heart to realize some of these things are happening right now as I speak in your homes. Are you willing to help make a difference and a change in everything that's going on that's not of God? And the things I'm speaking of are not of God, but they can be turned around. And you can make everything that's going on of God. And when you miss the mark, which all of us do, there's not one that's perfect. There's not one that will ever say, I'll be perfect and be able to get it right every time. It's just not how God, let's just face it, it's just not how our lives are. It's not how we were or how our bodies were made. And God knew that we were being in our physical bodies, that there were going to be times when we're going to truly have to ask forgiveness and more than once. The Bible says, ask for forgiveness 7 times 70. You know, we don't know if that means daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, lifetime. But it just goes to show that it's a lot that we need to ask for forgiveness and be able to forgive. So let's try to make some change in your life happen. Then think about strife. Do you have strife in your life? Strife is nothing other than anger or bitter disagreement over fundamental issues. How many of us know that most of our disagreements are over fundamental issues or conflict that we can, through communication, overcome? So strife really does not have to be a part of our vocabulary. It doesn't have to be a part of our life. There are things we can do to overcome that. It's called communicate. Don't let it get so bad that it turns into this thing we call strife. And if you don't deal with it, it don't go away. One of the things you got to understand, it's not going away, but if you deal with it, it can go away in a positive way, not to resurface its ugly face. If it's never dealt with, eventually that rug is going to get moved to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back, somehow, some way. And whatever that strife, whatever that anger, whatever that bitterness was, it's coming back because you never dealt with what caused it. There is a root to every situation, to every problem. You got to find out where that root is and go pluck it out if it's causing issues. And then I think about, Jesse, before I know I have to turn it back over to you, I think about fits of anger. And this is none other than to display a very bad temper. I've been there. I've done it. Still do it. Have to ask for forgiveness. I'm not too ashamed to say it. I know, especially as I'm going through menopause, Jesse, may God bless you, because you have been more patient than with me than I know any man would ever be able to be patient with their wife. Men, let me just speak to you. There are times when we do go through some challenges in our body. We would think that we have gone through enough when we know we have a cycle every month, that most of us are having issues and challenges during that time of the month. And then we go into, we're the ones that bring birth to our beautiful children that are a gift from God. And we go through that pain. I would have never thought we would have had to continue in our bodies to go through more pain. And I had no clue what menopause was until it hit me like a Big Mac truck. I was confused. I was concerned. I didn't know who I was. I'm sure you didn't know who I was, because there were so many times that I couldn't control it, and I would display some bad temper. I would do things that I would even say weren't of me, often screaming a lot and throwing, I don't throw things, but throwing a temper, I mean tantrum. I unfortunately have to pray every single day concerning this thing that's trying to invade my mind, my body, but it has no power. And I encourage all of you, my fellow women, if you are going through it, you feel like you're losing it, you feel like you're going through depression, you feel like you just want to scream, you feel like you just want to hit somebody, you feel all of these angry things going on, I'm going to tell you, you must pray without ceasing. You must take the appropriate time and go and be to yourself until you're able to come down. It's like anything. When you're going through the hot flashes, they last for a period of time. Hot flashes are nothing to me based on this mental thing that's associated with menopause. And if we're all true with ourselves, thank God. Some people don't go through menopause. And I'm just grateful and thankful for all of those that don't. But if this is the one thing that God is saying I must go through, I will go through it, and I will make it through it without medication. Now, I can get some medication. It can kind of shut me down and put me almost in a zombie state. I don't need that. I have too much power within me, and I know God loves me too much. And if I'm a willing vessel to welcome him in through prayer and supplication, then I know I can get through it. Take the time that you need to be by yourself for a few minutes to overcome what's happening that's trying to invade your mind. Take the time to ask for forgiveness when you know through this ugly illness that you've said and done things that were not of God. Take the time to get it right. I encourage you all to do it. Then when I think about disputes, Jesse, it's none other than a disagreement, an argument, or a debate. Let me just give you one secret, though. It's good to have these because it brings out a lot of things that is just really somewhat just caught up in your mind. You're thinking it, but you're never saying it. You know, and a lot of times we all get in a point where we feel liberated when we're mad at our spouse that we could say whatever we want to say, things that we've been thinking but didn't know how to put it in the proper words to have the proper communication. So then when you start just blurting it out, that's when it becomes a dispute. That's when it becomes a disagreement, an argument, a debate. And sometimes it's hard to reel those back in. Sometimes you got to say to yourself, it's time for me to exit for a few minutes. Let's table this conversation and come back to it later. And so I pray that God gives us all the ability to do just that. And then when I think, Jesse, about all of these things, these are just a few things. There's so many more, jealousy, backbiting, envy. But it could take me an hour or two to go through them, give you examples. I probably can say I could put myself into all of them, but to God be the glory that I've come right out of most of them. And I'm just praying that God gives all of us the ability to understand and know who we are in him to be able to help make a difference. And one of the things that as I close in this section that I want us to understand, that God's word gives us the wisdom we need to avoid all of these worldly dangers. Are you willing to do and understand what God's word is? We don't just read it because it's not going to do anything for us. We got to read it and apply it to our lives. We got to be the example of God's word so that as we go forward, then we have the ability to make a difference in others' lives. So when I think about Ephesians 5:15 and 17, and I'm closing, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men or women, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So what we do not want to do is be foolish, but we want to understand what the will of the Lord is. And again, there's no secret. It's obvious that in order to understand what the will of the Lord is studying to show yourself approved. So be careful how you walk. You must avoid the dangers that damage your marriage. Where do you find wisdom? Let me just tell you. Wonderful thing that you can do to find wisdom is go to Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. That's where you get it. It's very easy. I don't care what it is you may need, you may want. God will give it to you freely if only you ask. I pray God's blessings on each and every one of you. I hope some of these things have really helped you understand that you have the ability to remove them out of your life if only you desire. God will give you the power and the ability to do it, but you got to take that first step. God bless you. May God bless your marriages, and may God continue to allow you the ability to continue to study, to show yourself approved, to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Powerful, powerful, powerful. We're going to go to a call quick, and we've had a caller that's been holding, and we'll take a quick comment from them, and then we'll come back with some summary comments. 765-1312, your mic is open.
I have thoroughly enjoyed tonight's message. And I raised my hand when we were when Tammy spoke about being hostile. And a lot of people are not aware that the silent treatment is detrimental. I mean, that's a form of hostility that people think that, you know, if they don't say anything, you know, that's going to fix the problem. But sometimes that can be more irritating than, you know, if you were to be mean or irate. Amen.
That's right. Praise God. And I tell you, you know, we men, we have that capability as well. We know how to be silent because we have convinced ourselves many times that by being silent, by going into another room or leaving, it's the best thing to do because sometimes we think, feel, or believe we may do something or we may not be able to have self-control that Tammy spoke of. And then sometimes, even if you're not responding there, if you just go into a period of being silent, you know, you got an hour go by or half a day, a day, 2 days, weeks, and I don't have that particular skill set. I can't go that long without having some kind of conversation. I've got more social needs than to not be communicating. So I'm not good at being silent myself. I can do it maybe for a couple hours, maybe a night, but I don't have that skill. And I also remember that verse about not letting the sun go down on your wrath because you don't want to see that happen. You don't want to be malice in your thought processes. But let me quickly summarize, and thank you for those comments. We'll agree. Let me quickly, if I could, share with you just some summary comments, and some of those summary comments would be as follows. When we think about our ability to walk in oneness and the platform of purpose that we're chatting about, just recognize that there are challenges of life. Just as Tammy was sharing from the book of Galatians in that fifth chapter, you know, you got to just recognize and understand there are challenges, and since there are challenges that we're going to deal with in our marriages, we must know and understand that that's what we will face. And we should expect, we should anticipate, we should know that challenges will occur and they are real. They are not a figment of your imagination. Just like menopause, as Tammy indicated, or for a woman who is not but going through a monthly cycle, they are real. Men, we also go through some changes. They are real. So it's no sense of us ever trying to convince ourselves that we don't go through changes. We do. And if we're willing to understand those changes, then we're able, far greater than we may imagine, to be able to get through those changes. All right? We got to understand the importance of communication, as Tammy indicated, that when we have any changes, we can communicate. And as we communicate, we'll be able to recognize what we need to do, what needs to be done differently. And if we're willing to do so, we will make sure we don't allow any kind of disagreement lead us into discord. And finally, don't lose sight of your purpose. God created oneness. It's his first ordained institution. And our responsibility is to make sure we don't allow it to become a hindrance in that which we desire to do. And we praise God for that. We're going to ask Tammy to come back and close us in a word of prayer and tell those of you that would like to stick around for Minister Leah Collins, who will be coming on at 9 o'clock. And you'll have to dial back in. Well, you may not, but I would suggest if you have any issues to dial back in. But Tammy's going to lead us in a short prayer. And we'll be back next week where our agenda is going to be on vision. We'll speak about vision and oneness next week. Tammy, come on and lead us in a prayer.
Amen, Jesse. To God be the glory. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, thank you for allowing your word to go forward. Thank you for allowing, I know, my voice to be able to hold up after yelling at our baby daughter's game on Saturday. I lost it a little bit and had to be a little quiet on Sunday. And I know, Lord God, that you provided tonight. And I pray that you would touch every individual under the sound of our voice, that they were able to receive something from tonight. And I pray blessings on top of blessings for their marriages. And Lord God, I pray that you continue to give them the ability to recognize, know, and understand the things that they must do to make a difference in their marriage, or what they must do, Lord God, to present themselves to be able to be seen. Because we know when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And for those who are still yet single, I pray blessings upon those individuals, that you will allow them to be, Father God, made it with their perfect soulmate and be in holy matrimony and be able to experience and enjoy this thing we call oneness. I love you so much, Lord God. I want to say thank you for the privilege to be able to share on this evening. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Good night and God bless.
Agape love.